Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, we are back once again. Do not adjust your screens. It is not Mocha Mondays. It's Tan Tuesday. It is me, your True Hill Phenom SP3, back in the saddle right next to my boy, Mommy Nyangi's baby boy, Sat E. What's going on, Sat?
What's up, brother? Yeah, it is. It's Tan Tuesdays. It's becoming almost like a semi-regular thing, us to, you know, hooking up on a Tuesday. Shout out to AMAC, you know, one of the busiest guys in the industry. So, you know, we're blessing you guys with another episode. Sat E. The E stands for euphoria. I get euphoria doing Tuesdays. It's call-in day. That's when you guys get to have your say on the show. But before we begin, shout out to my lovely mum. My brother Max gonna cause some stir on the chat in a moment. But yeah, get us to 15K subscribers, guys, because you know what's going to happen. Once we get to 15K subscribers, we are now eligible to do Quizlemania War Games. Get us in there so we can whip, wrestle, talks, booty, like a couple of douchebags. Let's be
free. Absolutely. I love the energy on a Tuesday from Sat E. Like he said, Alex McCarthy couldn't be with us today. He is taking care of business. It's Anthony Joshua fight week, so he is doing the workouts. You can go over to his Instagram. He just did a live stream from the workout, so he's dealing with that. So I was like, hot tag me in, pinch hit. I'm pinch hitting once again here. He's not dealing with the hotel Wi-Fi, Lizzie Stallion. But Lizzie Stallion commenting reminds me about the maintenance call. Of course, drop a like on this video. Share this video on all your favorite social media platforms. If you are new to the Wrestling Daily YouTube channel, hit that subscribe button. Hit the bell to stay notified as we approach 15K. And of course, if you want to be like Lizzie Stallion, if you want to be like Bridge Joshi, you can become a Wrestling Daily member. Join, press that join button. Become a part of the Wrestling Daily community. Become a new elite good egg for all of us to see. But yes, Sat, we are back in the saddle for Tan Tuesday. We had a very good edition of Monday Night Raw that we are going to discuss. We also got to discuss the titular news, which has hand-in-hand to do with Monday Night Raw. We'll try to cover as much of the news and Raw as possible. But a little programming note, this is marking the end of an era for Wrestling Daily. This will be, for the time being, our final one-hour edition of Wrestling Daily. We do it strictly for you guys because the call-in day is probably one of the most important because we love the community that we have created here. So we had to make sure this is a one-hour edition to give me and Sat time to talk about the titular news, time to talk about Monday Night Raw before we bring you in and we hear your say. But starting tomorrow, on Wednesday, we're going to be 30-minute Wrestling Daily. So it's going to be a little bit more digestible for everyone to enjoy. You can come in. Me and Alex will talk about the titular news. We'll get into our daily debate. But it's going to be a nice compact version of Wrestling Daily moving forward. 30-minute edition starting tomorrow.
So, 60-minute Ironman matches, guys, for now. So, you know, you got to get ready for 30-minute Broadway, 30-minute draw. But yeah, the hour matches are over, guys.
Which fits hand in hand with what I think we're doing with the Danielson and Omega. I think they're going to go the 30-minute Broadway, 30-minute draw tomorrow. But that's me giving predictions for Dynamite Grand Slam, which I will for sure with Alex tomorrow. But yes, let's talk about the titular news. Yes, during last night's episode of Monday Night Raw, apparently a new rule or an old rule, depending on who you ask, for tag team matches was made clear as lead Raw commentator Jimmy Smith stated on commentary during the Women's Tag Team Championship match that once Rhea Ripley had broken up a pin attempt to save Nikki A.S.H. from being pinned, their team couldn't do any more saves. So apparently there has been a one save rule. According to Meltzer, this was the first time it was very like iterated, but according to Brian Alvarez during Wrestling Observer Radio, this is something that has always been in place. Meltzer said Jimmy Smith mentioned in the Natalya match when Rhea Ripley made a save. Now they're not allowed to do any more saves. Evidently, they are now doing a one save rule. What was the rule before that? They never said. Wasn't it like three saves or two saves? And Alvarez says no, it was always a one save rule. They just never told you. So it's a new rule that I guess is like an old rule, but they're just making it very clear that now in tag team matches, you can only make one save for your tag team partner. So your tag team partner has to kick out if he gets a belly to belly suplex. But if, you know, it's a tag team match with Roman Reigns and he hits the spear, that might be the time you want to make your one save. So Seth, what's your thoughts on the one save rule becoming clear to us last night on Raw?
I feel like I need to borrow that rule book that Shawn Michaels was talking about when he was commissioner, the WWE rule book, to read what it is exactly. You know what? It kind of makes me want to go back and watch Heart Foundation versus Brainbusters to see if that is the case, because it sounds like it's come out of nowhere. But if that is the rule, I have to go back and start watching old tag team matches and see how much saves happen, because you may find out, as per Vince McMahon, you know, he sometimes moves the goalposts whenever he feels like it. But it makes it more interesting. I just hope that if that is, you know, what's always been the case, that they don't change it and they follow through with it. And also they start incorporating it in tag team matches where someone has been overzealous and if they used up the one rule, and then if someone else interferes with disqualification, it's almost like an ROH pure wrestling kind of rule thing where you get, you know, rope breaks and certain amount of things before if you try to rope break again, it won't work this time. And it makes the matches more interesting, but you know how much WWE love tag team wrestling. So it might not, you know, amount to anything. But, you know, it's an interesting rule, and we never knew that was the case, apparently. You know, this is why, in the era that we're in with the Amazon Primes and the eBays, they should sell a copy of the WWE rule book. You know, I think people buy it. You know, there's a lot of hardcore wrestling fans that would actually buy the rule book and cite it. You know how someone would actually, I read the whole book. It's in chapter 86, verse 1b. It states this. You know, so yeah, it clarifies things, but it's a bit bizarre. Like after all these years, we finally find out that's the rules.
I don't think they will ever, and I mean ever, let out a WWE rule book, because that means they have to actually follow it, and they can't just out of nowhere spring something on us or out the norm, like establish the rule, because yeah, it's something that it's probably been a rule for a while, and something that, you know, other wrestlers have mentioned in different interviews, but it's never been something that they really enforced, in my opinion. So yeah, I don't see that happening. I don't see them letting out the rule book, because this is not something that they are going to establish too much, but it is nice that they're mentioning it now. So it's something that you can pay attention to on certain tag team matches. All I know is that for sure, if you go back and watch the Usos and New Day matches, this wasn't a rule then. This wasn't a rule then, because there was a lot of breaking up of pins in those tag team matches. And those were some of the best tag team matches we've seen on the main roster in the last decade. So, yeah, I don't think that is the case. But Sat, let's put a nice little segue into what happened on Monday Night Raw. I know I saw somebody in the chat be like, no, let's not talk about Monday Night Raw. This is actually a time that I want to talk about Monday Night Raw because it was actually a very good episode, in my opinion, bookend by two pay-per-view quality matches. And it kind of shows that at this point in time in the WWE, hot-shotting might be the way to go. Because it wasn't a boring, typical Raw where you can sum it up in about two sentences. It was something that you could talk about. You know, people had varying, you know, levels of enjoyment of the show. But I say this was one of the better ones because you had the beginning with the New Day versus the Bloodline. I loved Big E's opening promo and his little tribute to Brody Lee. That was touching. You had the, you know, the Bloodline come out. Then those two teams had a very good six-man tag team match, only marred by what was a finish to protect the New Day, but it came off very stupid with the referee seeing Bobby Lashley get involved and not call a disqualification, but the Bloodline won. And then that led into later on in the night a triple threat match, which I thought was even better than the opener of Bobby Lashley, Big E, and Roman Reigns. What was your thoughts on the six-man tag, and what was your thoughts on the main event set?
To the six-man tag, it was a great match. As per usual, New Day and the Usos, man, it's like a cheat code to have a great match. You just put those five men in a ring together, and including Roman Reigns as well, gave it that element of star power. I was a bit disappointed, even though Bobby Lashley got involved. I was disappointed that the ending was that the Bloodline got a clear victory over the New Day. Yeah, they can have more rematches, but as we all know, when rematches happen, you get diminished returns in terms of enthusiasm, not in match quality, but in terms of enthusiasm for a match. I felt like the Bloodline came on to Raw and run roughshod when it should have been them rubbing off and legitimizing some of the wrestlers on Raw. Because all it looked like is they made Raw wrestlers look like a chump. I mean, they beat the New Day, including Big E, who's now a new member of Raw, and then Roman Reigns beat Bobby Lashley in the ring. Even though, you know, they did it in a way where everyone looked strong, but at the same time, it's like, unless Roman Reigns is back next week to lose, what did Raw wrestlers really gain from it? Yes, you popped the ratings, because that's what it's about, popping ratings. But when you look back on it, what did Raw wrestlers really gain from it? It's kind of like the whole situation where when you're relying on one person too much and when that's taken away from you, you have to rely on your own superstars and build them up. So that's my thoughts on things. Great matches, but the booking for me was questionable in some parts. What did you think, SP3?
I mean, it kind of lends into what we talked about very shortly yesterday with the WrestleVotes report that we might be seeing a change with the you know, WWE draft where the top superstars can kind of, you know, go from Raw to SmackDown. And I think that had a lot to do with the quality that Roman Reigns being on the show made the show seem more important. He didn't really get like talking segments. We didn't get the usual backstage segments with him and Paul Heyman, but just his presence on the show brought a level of star power that we're not really used to on Monday Night Raw. And that the triple threat at the end, that was a pay-per-view quality match. And that might be better than a lot of the matches that we're going to get at Extreme Rules, honestly, which I'll just say it doesn't feel like Extreme Rules because only one match has a stipulation. Only one match in it is an Extreme Rules match. It's basically regular rules. It's the regular rules version of Extreme Rules. So if you would have put this triple threat on the Extreme Rules card, I think we would be talking about it being one of the best matches of the night. And it definitely was the match of the night here. Bobby Lashley looked like an absolute beast coming out at the end of the six-man tag and attacking, you know, all six men, beating up the New Day, beating up the Usos, spearing Roman Reigns, spearing Big E through the barricade. So he looked great, and then he looked great in the triple threat match, hitting Big E like he was Stone Cold at WrestleMania 17, just with countless steel chair shots. He was like halfway there. I think he made it to 8. He didn't make it to 16 like Austin did at 17. And then Big E, he looked tremendous during this matchup. You know, the big splash on both men. Twice he had visual pinfalls on Roman Reigns where Roman Reigns didn't kick out, that it was Bobby Lashley that pulled him out of the ring the first time and then hit him with the steel chair the second time. So I like the fact that they did that for him, and it definitely makes me anticipate that they are going to do Big E and Roman Reigns at Survivor Series. That would be the match that I want to see, WWE Champion versus Universal Champion. And then Roman Reigns getting the victory in the end makes him look like the all-powerful star. So I get what you're saying, where the Raw guys probably didn't get much, but I don't think that was the goal at the end of the day. I think the goal was to have a very entertaining show. And sometimes the hotshot desperation booking, that's what does it for WWE. And I felt like it did it last night. Was there anything else that stood out for you on the night besides those two matches? For me personally, one of my favorite parts was the rehabilitation of Shayna Baszler, her choking out Nia Jax, and then the attack after the match. It felt like they were right off Nia Jax. This is the most intimidating that we've seen Shayna Baszler since she wiped through the Raw Women's Division back at Elimination Chamber 2020. This was the strongest she has looked since then. So I really enjoyed that part of the show outside of the bookend great matches that we got. But what stood out for you, Sat?
Yeah, that's one of the things that stood out. Shayna Baszler, I was shocked because on paper, you know how they favor Nia Jax over Shayna Baszler. So you're thinking they were going to make her look like a clown. But they need to rehabilitate her. And then I hope they're not making her look strong, so they, you know, she gets built up only to lose to Charlotte or someone like that. I hope that it's a sustained...
You know they would do that.
But the draft is coming. So I'm hoping that they're rehabbing her so they can put on SmackDown and make her a dominant force. I mean, that's the only way you can wipe the slate clean over her lackluster Raw run. One of my highlights is my fantasy booking came true. The Garza cousins are a tag team. Although it came out of the blue, you didn't see... Well, I would have liked to see some sort of like vignette hyping them up as the most handsome tag team. I hope they call them the most... Like a player of the world's greatest tag team, you're the most handsome tag team because, you know, the Garza cousins, you know, Umberto and Angel, two talented guys by themselves were lost in the shuffle. And yeah, they were fighting each other. I was kind of hoping this union would have happened back when Andrade was teasing his own faction, but ended up putting Austin Fury. I was hoping Umberto getting bullied was going to lead him joining the group because last year they were feuding with him. But, you know, better late than never. Can't complain about that. They look strong in a match against Ali and Mansoor. But I hope that we don't get a rematch next week because that's what WWE tends to do. The new tag team wins. And as soon as you look at the building momentum, they cut the legs from underneath them. Angel's pants tearing is still over, so that was great. Charlotte's promo segment with Alexa Bliss was great. I love them two feuding for the very reason that Alexa Bliss is like in this same wheelhouse as Charlotte. She gets this kind of push where she always looks great. Charlotte always looks great. So to see them together, you can see that WWE loves both women. So they equally get to throw mud at each other and they equally look strong against each other as well in the fight. And then they said some, you know, below the belt stuff, a little shoot there, brother, you know, a little B-I-T-C-H word, brother, thrown out there. And I'm excited about the match. The feud is good because WWE like both women. It's not like Asuka where they will, you know, she get punked out every single week and barely gets a promo. They like Alexa Bliss, Charlotte, and yeah, it was great.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, I thought that that was one of the stronger Alexa Playground that they've done. I mean, when it was just them coming at each other, that's where it really was the highlight. It's just I'm kind of over the doll play and, you know, them relying on, you know, Lily and Charlie. It's a little too much for me. Like, these are two grown women. These are two women that can stand on their own two feet. And when they were throwing jabs at each other, it was the closest WWE has gotten to a women's promo to what we got on AEW Rampage with the phenomenal Ruby Soho and Britt Baker promo exchange. That's on another level than what we've been seeing really with Bianca Belair and Becky Lynch, and even what we saw with Charlotte and Alexa. But there was that little glimmer of hope that there is something there when Charlotte was coming at Alexa, and then the ad lib line of the woos are not even you, and don't you get me started on originality.
Wyatt, right? That listen, that's what I was bursting at the seams to say something, so I didn't want us to miss that. It was kind of like, don't you come at me about originality. And I was like, oh. And also a quick thing as well, what I found funny, a weird random thing. So Adam Pearce, when he also interacts with Paul Heyman on SmackDown, he's kind of like a quivering dud. But on Raw, for some weird reason, he has balls on Raw. He was shouting in Paul Heyman's face. I'm like, where's that Adam Pearce on SmackDown? Does he have some bipolar situation where he gets his balls on Raw and loses, you know, his balls on SmackDown? Like, you know, that was...
I mean, my only thing is I remembered what happened on SmackDown, and I was kind of upset because why didn't Paul Heyman, Bobby Lashley, or Big E get fined like Naomi did? Why Naomi the only one out here who getting fined for yelling at Sonya Deville and Adam Pearce, while these people should just barge in and yell at them and nothing can happen? They get a main event match. This Naomi can't even get a match and she yelled at somebody and got fined for it. That's ridiculous. That's a double standard and I don't like it.
I don't like it either. I'm just waiting for Naomi to cut a Bret Hart style promo and just tear things up and join the bloodline and make Sonya Deville a quivering mess and, you know, go on your knees, kiss my boots.
Feel the glow. And we want to hear from you guys what you think about the new rule with tag teams only having one save, what you thought about Monday Night Raw. Of course, you're going to have your say in about 10 minutes. We're going to put the link in the chat for the call-in edition so you can come on screen and have your hot take, have your opinion being said, or... you can send it in with the Ultra Chat, WrestleTalk.com/WrestlingDaily. We would definitely appreciate any hot takes, any opinions that you have to say. So let's hear from you guys. We're going to hear from you guys being on screen with us. But for anybody who doesn't want to be on screen, WrestleTalk.com/WrestlingDaily. We got a few more people watching. Remember to throw a thumbs up on this video. You can also share it on your favorite social media platforms. And if you are new, hit the subscribe button, hit the bell to stay notified for all the great content. 5 days a week of Wrestling Daily. And like I said at the top of the show, this is the ending of one era of Wrestling Daily. No more hour-long Iron Man matches. We're going to 30 minutes starting tomorrow with me and Alex McCarthy. We're going to be talking about the titular news. Then we're going to go right into the debate. We got to make sure we have time for our debates because we've been leaving like 10 minutes at the end of an hour. So now we're going to have to structure it very well suited now with 30 minute editions, but we're going to be able to do it and you can have a more digestible version of Wrestling Daily starting tomorrow. So this is the final 1 hour show. So the final thing I want to touch on before we bring in any of the callers that we got coming in, King of the Ring. Apparently, they are doing a special. PW Insider announced that the weekend of the draft, Friday, October 1st, is going to be the first night of the WWE draft. And then that weekend, they're going to be doing a King of the Ring special to build up the return of the King of the Ring as well as the Queen of the Ring tournament. So what do you think about this special, and what King of the Ring matches do you want to see on this special that they're doing over the weekend on Fox? It's going to be on Fox, so a bunch of big eyes. It's on a big network. It's going to be very interesting what the ratings is over the weekend for, you know, a WWE special. It might lead to maybe more Saturday night's main event, maybe on Fox. Fox might think about doing a Saturday night's main event if the ratings do well. So there's a lot of potential there. But what matches, and what do you think about the King of the Ring special coming over that first weekend in October, Sat?
Well, King of the Ring holds a special place in my heart. I wish they would go back to the original format, the 1993 format, where you got like the quarterfinal, semifinal, and the final all in one show. I like the one night style tournament. For me, it's always a positive, because King of the Ring is like a weird gimmick. They always say that it never draws, but yet they always go back to it time and again in a different iteration. I just want to see, you know, Xavier Woods get his dream come true, make it to the finals. Winning it would be great for him, but just having him in the finals would be great. That's what I would like to see. In terms of the women, I was racking my brain as you're saying, what would I like to see in terms of women? Like, it's weird, but I feel like Zelina Vega and Carmella are the two in terms of heels that would benefit from winning it in terms of being queen. Because I can go with Liv Morgan, but she's a face. I don't want Liv Morgan.
I'm going to say, yeah, that she would probably benefit, but let's be realistic here. Let's be realistic on who's going to be the Queen of the Ring, because they ain't going to give it to Zelina Vega. If they're not going to give her a match on the 9/11, the 20th anniversary SmackDown, they're not going to give her no Queen of the Ring tournament. But I was more asking what classic King of the Ring, because this special is not going to be like the new superstars. This is like a special to hype up the return of the King of the Ring. So I think it's going to be more like classic King of the Ring stuff.
Oh, sorry, misheard you. In terms of classic King of the Ring, you have to, for me, I love the original one in terms of Mr. Perfect and Bret the Hitman Hart. They had a great match. Bret Hart and Bam Bam Bigelow, Bret Hart and Razor Ramon. I think that their King of the Ring match was better than the Royal Rumble match, if I may say so.
I agree. Yeah. Bret put on three totally different matches. And that's why, you know, I hate when people say, oh, you know, there's never been any good. A lot of people say these two things. There's never been a good babyface King of the Ring. King of the Ring works better when you're a heel. And I'm just like, Bret Hart was like the first one that won the pay-per-view, and he was one of the better King of the Rings that they ever had. He just didn't need to walk around with the King crown for the next 6 months afterwards. Yeah. And then they also say there's never been any good babyface Money in the Bank winners, and Big E is the latest example of how that works, and it works very well. So I think that that's a common misconception to fans, that babyfaces don't work. One of my favorite other King of the Rings that was a babyface was Edge. And that he kind of used the King of the Ring to become a babyface, because he was in his tag team with Christian, and he showed out in that King of the Ring tournament, had a great finals against Kurt Angle. That's kind of the forgotten match from the 2001 King of the Ring, because Kurt Angle put on a classic with Shane McMahon in the same night. So yeah, those two are like my favorite when it comes to babyfaces. But if I'm going to say a match, because we talked about him so much on Mocha Monday yesterday, Owen Hart versus 1-2-3 Kid from King of the Ring 1994. That's in my top 10 must-watch Owen Hart matches. And Owen Hart is one of my favorite King of the Rings. The King of Hearts, Owen Hart, winning the King of the Ring in 94. That was great stuff, because he had the whole collusion with Jim the Anvil Neidhart. So there was a great stuff going on story-wise and match-wise, that match with 1-2-3 Kid. Any other ones you want to see for this special on Fox the first weekend of October, Seth?
Another one I would like to see, let me see, from 98 King of the Ring, I'm trying to remember, because for me, the best ones were the early years one. Those are the ones I remember. But also, I guess the Stone Cold promo, I'm saying the promo, because his matches, I mean, Mark Merrill busted up his lips. So it's typical 96 where they didn't get into second gear. It was just stuck on first gear. I just said Austin promo from 96. In terms of 97... Oh man, I don't remember a lot of matches. Kurt Angle stuff from 2000. I'll just get right straight to 2000. Kurt Angle. He's like, I'm skipping. Listen, I'm skipping because I'm actually, listen, Attitude Era, King of the Ring, it's quite hard for me to remember standout moments in terms of matches.
I mean, I personally like Stone Cold versus Mark Merrill from the 96 King of the Ring. I love the finals of 97 with Mankind and Hunter Hearst Helmsley when he beats the crap out of him with the crown itself and like beats up Mankind's leg. That's good stuff. And I'm surprised. I gave you an alley and you couldn't even throw down the oop. The match that we argued about on our first time.
The Rock and Ken Shamrock.
Exactly. The best Rock and Ken Shamrock match. The only great Rock and Ken Shamrock match. The King of the Ring 1998. That was great stuff. So don't, you can't forget that, Sat. Come on. Come on.
No, I didn't forget, but I know how, you know, anytime I mention good match, Ken Shamrock, The Rock, that triggers you. So I was doing it for you. I didn't want to trigger you. I was like, I don't have the heart to say it. I want to say it, but I don't want him to start verbally assaulting me for not including Edge matches, you know, Rhino and you know, Team Wreck in 2001, because they had some good matches in 2001 and in terms of King of the Ring. But yeah, Shamrock and The Rock had a great match in King of the Ring. That's the hill I was willing to die on. And that's when you start frying me for no reason.
You said they had classics. You didn't say a classic. You said classics. That is plural. I'm a very, if you don't know one thing about me, Sat, I'm a person of content.
I did say that. WrestleMania 14 was it was
no WrestleMania 14. That was a 5-minute match. Get the hell out of here!
Wait! Yo! How can you say Owen Hart and 1-2-3 Kid and that match was barely struggling to make 6 minutes?
Because that was a great 6-minute match.
Your criteria Shamrock, does not fit your criteria,
Shamrock,
sir.
Shamrock and The Rock was a 5-minute match that had a dusty finish. Shamrock taps The Rock
dusty
out, and then he
have great classics.
Get out!
You said Dusty Rose.
Get out! You're ridiculous. Finishes. You're ridiculous. But we want to hear from all of you guys. Send your ultra chats. We're about to bring you in. I put the link in the chat for everyone to become a part of the era. And yes, Uptown Avido, you're absolutely right. Sat is at the helm for all the random pop-ups. This is the one you should have popped up. The link is in the chat to become a part of the show. We want to hear your hot takes. We want to hear what you got to say about Monday Night Raw or anything going on in the wrestling world. It is now your time to join us for the call-in day. But of course, if you don't want to be on screen, if you're a little shy, you could just send us WrestleTalk.com/WrestlingDaily. And you can send your hot takes, your opinions, your questions for me and Sat E on Tan Tuesday. No, it is not Mocha Monday. It is Tan Tuesday. And we will get to it. So I'm not always here for the call-ins, but we're going to get to it. We're going to bring in our first caller. And we got one of the elite good eggs, one of the members here, Briz Joshi, joining us. What's going on, Briz?
I'm fine, actually. I enjoyed the Raw, but unfortunately, I really missed, you know, I really missed our great team. I really miss Cedric Alexander, really miss those guys. You know, it could have been great 9-man feud.
You're talking about the Hurt Business, not right?
Hurt Business. Versus New Day, versus Bloodline.
It could happen. For me, maybe I'm setting myself up for disappointment. I have a feeling the fact that MVP's gone away for a bit, Bobby Lashley's on a tear, he may get some backup because I want to see a three-way feud. I want to see a gang warfare, you know, Los Pericos, Nation of Domination, and, you know, the Disciples of Apocalypse kind of style feud. Just a three-man gang warfare.
Which one is Los Pericos?
Huh?
Which one is
Los Pericos? You can choose which one is Los Pericos. You can choose. I mean, it's obvious whose nation, you know, MVP would hate it, the nation, or it could be New Day. Like, I don't know. You choose. Whatever sounds good.
I'm just not convinced. I've always been under the understanding that WWE broke up the Hurt Business, so it's best for us to leave the memories alone.
No, don't Lashley was champion. I think because Lashley was champion, they didn't want him to get cheered. It was a conspiracy. It was designed to get him over as a heel because the Hurt Business was too cool. Sorry, Briz, this is your question. I don't want to take over.
Sorry, man. I had another question for you. According to you guys, we have talked about one of the, you know, greatest team, the Hurt Business, New Day, and the Bloodline. But according to you guys, which team can be the worst faction of all time? According to you, it can be from any promotion, but I have one for you.
Who's yours?
Have you ever heard of the faction named RDX?
RDX?
Yeah, maybe the worst faction of all time, in my opinion. It's under TNA banner. It's from Rinka King. Do you want to know who was the member?
Yeah, go
of the
it.
RDX. Saurav Gujjar, the other original Indus share guy. Second guy was Jeff Jarrett. Third guy was Scott Steiner. Fourth one was Brutus Magnus. Fifth one was Abyss. And the sixth one was Sanjay Dutt. Maybe the worst team ever.
How long were they last for? How long were they together for?
Oh, they were there for since day one.
The are show they was, until now?
Because the show was only 26 episodes long. TNA really dropped the ball on that. It was an Indian promotion, Indian indie promotion under TNA banner
Rinka King,
called
right?
Rinka Ring, King. Yeah, yeah, Rinka King. Oh, in 2012, and Scott Steiner was running like a bull in the crowd, attacking the crowd. It was marvelous thing. I have been to only one wrestling show in my whole life, and it was that show. It was a trash fire, you know. The worst thing you can ever see. And so, I've been to only that show. It's the saddest thing.
So, Sat, what's your worst faction ever?
Man, it's that group with Alberto, Rusev, and
League of Nations.
Yes,
I kind of like them.
I was gonna mention a group that has Empire in it by accident. I was like, that's not the name of the group. I was like, no, that's not the name. So I didn't want to say it. That's why I had Geonia. League of Nations.
League of Nations on
paper could have been a great group, but they're just a bunch of bumbling heels. So for me, it's the worst for the simple fact that you had a pedigree, a collection of former Intercontinental Champions, United States Champions, World Champions, and they did not look like it. They would just look like a bunch of bumps. They look like Main Street Posse 2.0. So that's how bad it was. For that simple reason, because I mean, you can say Social Outcast, you can say the Mr. Raj or whatever, but all those groups served their purpose. This was meant to be a main event group, and it was like a wet fart, man. So that's my one. Yours?
Actually, Cody's group is becoming my second worst faction of all time. they are just playing with dumpster fire.
Mine would be the Magnificent Seven. I think that was the group with Ric Flair, the Road Warrior Animal at the end of like WCW, where it was like seven guys, seven main event guys, and it was just all over the place. Either them or the Millionaires Club when they did the whole rebrand for WCW in like 2000, where it was the New Blood versus the Millionaires Club. I hated the Millionaires Club. I was actually a fan of the New Blood, and that was surprising because New Blood had all a bunch of new people, Mike Awesome, Billy Kidd in them, but I actually liked them over the Millionaires Club. I hated the Millionaires
Ooh,
Club.
You smarting up. I was too much of a mark. I was like, go Millionaires Club. Yay! Hulk Hogan! Yay! You're such a great guy, Hogan. Let it African know.
Great guy Hogan. Yeah. Words you will never hear again on Wrestling Daily. Thank you.
Just wrote me to cut up to splice up my flipping sound bites.
Exactly. Thank you, Briz. As always, you're always welcome back. As always, you're always great. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you so much, guys. And please subscribe. We need to get to the WrestleMania, baby. Come on, guys.
He knows that's why he's an elite good egg. That's why. Peace, Riz. All right, we're going to bring in now Forgotten Wonder. Excuse me. It switched the screen, but we got Dan, Mayor of Painesville. Dan, what's going on, sir?
I'm very fine. I'm very great. How are you guys?
You're doing well,
my friend. This guy.
We're doing well. Welcome, welcome, sir.
So first, housekeeping. Make war games okay. Get us to 15K. Yeah, very important.
Very important information right there. Thank you, Dan. But do you have a hot take, a question, or anything you want to discuss?
Now I have a hot topic. Sir. A hot topic because some news just dropped. Daniel Bryan, or Bryan Danielson now, has given an interview to Barstool's The Yak about a very serious topic. It's apples, and I want to hear your guys' thoughts about it. I have the sound bit here, or not the sound bit, like the little text here from the interview where he talks about apples, and it's very serious, so I wanted to read it to you. He says, As I tend towards a vegan diet and people say all sort of things about a vegan diet, I find it really fascinating that nobody really brings this up. If you eat an apple, people say, oh, you kill plants. No, I don't really kill plants. When I eat an apple, the tree doesn't die. Essentially, I'm eating the tree's sperm. I'm eating the sperm. It's the tree's semen. That's how they reproduce. Other trees, most fruits are semen. Real fruits are semen because they contain the seed inside of them. In theory, that has to be planted into the ground for other trees to grow. And that's what Bryan Danielson says about apples.
Any comments, Ed? I'll leave the floor to you.
Dan, I am speechless, man. I'm speechless. I've been apples been nutting inside my soul all this time. My goodness. Well, I'm happy I know this. I'm getting some nice nutrients.
There you go. All the nutrients inside of you. They're just exploding.
Bryan has to know he was part of the infamous Team Apple, if you remember.
Yes. He's an Apple enthusiast. If that didn't say he was an Apple enthusiast, I don't know what will, but that is some useful information for us. I thought you were going to bring up his column on the Players Tribune, but I think that's even better. This is even better than him saying, you know, he wished people, you know, could see Vince McMahon the way he does. Wow. Can you, for anyone who's just joining us, can you repeat that one more time? Repeat that quote one more time for anyone who missed it.
Of course, Bryan Danielson on the topic of apples. As I tend towards a vegan diet and people say all sort of things about the vegan diet, I find it really fascinating that nobody really brings this up. If you eat an apple, people say, oh, you kill plants. No, I don't really kill plants. When I eat an apple, the tree doesn't die. Essentially, I'm eating the tree's sperm. I'm eating the sperm. It's the tree's semen. That's how they reproduce other trees. Most fruits are semen. Real fruits are semen because they contain the seed inside of them. In theory, that has to be planted into the ground for another tree to go.
So you heard it here first on Wrestling Daily, Tan Tuesday, that Daniel Bryan is eating tree semen, ladies and gentlemen. He loves him some apples. Oh my God. Thank you so much for that quote.
Legend.
Nice to see you.
You already know what is the portion of this episode that I'm going to cut for our social media. It's this one right here. Thank you, Dan. Thank you. Oh, let's bring in Forgotten Wonders now. What's going on, sir?
I don't know at this point.
I don't know how I was coming. That.
No, I was coming in. I wanted to tell Seth that somebody was going to clip him saying, ironically, let's go Hulk Hogan. But now Dan upstaged me with that. I don't know.
So now... I still think that clipping would be worse than what we just heard. But yeah.
Yeah.
Dan is like Shawn Michaels, who comes in the back after having a great match, and he's like, follow that.
Follow that. No, guys, so can you hear me all right? Because I don't have my usual microphone set up because I just came home. I was traveling. Is it okay?
You sound great, you good, buddy. Sir.
Perfect. So a couple of things I wanted to mention. First of all, I agree that Raw was very good for once. Was very, very nice. But other than that, I wanted to mention two other things. So first of all, following the WrestleVotes tweet about Raw being hot-shotted and all of that, I saw the let's end the brand split comments creeping up again. And I would like to know what you think about that, because in my opinion, many people who advocate for the brand split to end, it's because they heard somebody say it, but they don't really remember how it was back then. Because we complain now that there are too many recaps. SmackDown was a recap show. They will run like entire segments from Raw, uncut, like 10 minutes, the whole segment from Raw back on SmackDown. And it was just more of the same guys appearing twice as much. You didn't have more people, more variety. In fact, you had the opposite of that. So I'm never a fan of the idea of ending the brand split. I would like maybe them to give better booking and more opportunities to their current roster with the separate brands, so you can build up more stars. I understand that, you know, it may be asking too much at times, but I don't believe in ending the brand split. So that's my first point. And then I just wanted to really softly touch on the Owen Hart news with AEW. I'm sure you've seen that tweet of the guy saying that he hopes WWE sues AEW because it's disgraceful that they are taking his name when he never worked for them. Admittedly, I wasn't around when Owen was on TV. I discovered him later in life because I found a used copy of WWF Warzone at a GameStop. And there was this Owen Hart guy on it. So I was, oh, who is this? I know Brett, but who's Owen? So I started researching, and then I found out everything that happened. But even I was not a fan growing up. I didn't know him growing up. I don't understand how you can think like that. How can you seriously think that a wife, after years of trauma, after all of that she went through, she finally finds a way to honor her husband without involving, you know, the company responsible, allegedly, one could argue, for his death? And your first thought is brand warfare, bragging rights, gang wars. Why would you do that? So, yeah, I just really wanted to say this to other wrestling people because I don't have any here at home. But I needed to get it out because, you know, this is so stupid to me. How can you think like that? And if you're trolling, man, I hope you're under like 14 years of age, because after that, where's the fun in trolling to make people mad? I don't get it. So that's my part. Let me know what you think.
What about you, Sat? What you think?
Nah, you're funny. I just want to remind people, if they end the brand split, the epic reign of Roman Reigns as champion will become unbearable because he'll become overexposed. Part of the reason why his reign has been going so well is because he doesn't defend the title every single week, and they've put extra efforts into his matches and into his storyline by crafting it. And like Nad said, it would become a recap show. You'd see twice as much Bloodline, twice as much Paul Heyman screaming, twice as much Brock Lesnar only on Mondays or Fridays, wherever's paying the big bucks. You don't want it to become a recap show. You want to see Liv Morgan wrestle so much? Huh? You want to see Liv Morgan wrestle? You want to see Tony Storm wrestle? You ain't going to see that. It'll be twice as much Charlotte. Then you see, you know, new women, you know, getting opportunities. So people need to cut the crap. I will say one thing that I don't like about the brand split at the moment. The original brand split for me was successful in the beginning because it was two brands that didn't touch for close to like nearly 2 years. That's what made the match between Kurt Angle and Shawn Michaels so special, because it was a rare occasion, a rare brand versus brand match. That's what made Survivor Series 2005 special, because it was the first time getting two brands facing each other off. It's become commonplace that they should really go back to them not even acknowledging each other, even though the real Forbidden Door is AEW now. It used to be WWE playing with themselves in front of a mirror, pretending, "Hey, you stranger." And we all know it's not a stranger, it's you looking at yourself in the mirror. But yes, no. And in terms of the next part, SB3, I'm going to friend it to you.
I mean, I kind of said this yesterday that, you know, there's going to be some people who are just very adamant about being WWE fans. And they think that they have to be WWE apologists, WWE loyalists, WWE defense attorneys. And as someone whose kids get fed on the dollar from WWE, that's not how you get them to do better. That's not how you get them to pay you. This, it just makes you look very foolish, very closed-minded, and you are trying to basically shame a widow who has had valid reasons to not work with one company, and now she's giving something to the fans back by working with another company. It's not the time to get on your high horse and die on a hill. And the people that put out those tweets, they are dead on that hill. So that is the most I will say about those people. Thank you so much, Forgotten Wonders. You were great. Those were great.
Thank you, guys.
Great topics to talk about, man. We appreciate you.
Thank you for having me. Have a nice evening.
You too. Next, we're going to bring in Anthony is here with us. What's going on, Anthony?
Not much. How are you guys?
Not too bad, buddy. Are we still on for Thursday?
Yeah. So, what I wanted to speak about, you know, the Owen Hart commemorative tournament that AEW are doing. I was thinking I would have somebody like Brian Pillman Jr. win it. Because that way you could elevate a new star.
Yeah, I like it. I think we brought that up yesterday. His connection to the Hart family, you know, his father being a part of the Hart Foundation, training at the Hart Dungeon. That's a great shout. And I think that I've seen other people mention, you know, they don't want MJF to win the tournament. I think that's the perfect person for him to beat in the finals, because you know what MJF is capable of and saying if he wins. So for Brian Pillman Jr. to beat him and get a win over MJF to win the tournament, I think that's a great thought, Anthony.
So in that case, would you have MJF beat Brian Pillman the first time when they did a tournament, have him getting revenge in the final?
Yeah, I think that MJF should. I think he should win at Grand Slam tomorrow. Yeah. And then from there, you know, it builds up that he's never beaten MJF. And then he could beat him in the tournament, where it's a story within them with their feud. And then you also have the moment of Brian Pillman winning the tournament for the Hart family.
Yeah. I like the idea. But I'm still not sold on Pillman Jr. as a babyface. I think maybe the money will be when he turns heel. He kind of reminds me of, ironically, his dad, when his dad was a face before he turned heel. So, yeah. But, yeah, this could be a great opportunity to elevate, you know, Pillman Jr.
And you may even win the tournament. Do you still keep him with Griff Garrison, or do you break them apart?
I mean, this is a good like singles opportunity for him, but I don't think it kind of puts to rest the Varsity Blondes. I think those guys have potential together, and I'm not like sad. I like him as a babyface. I think that he does a very believable 80s underdog fiery babyface promo in 2021, where not a lot of like cookie cutter 80s style babyfaces pull it off very well. I think Brian Pillman does.
No, I like the guy. The thing is, I think I like the guy personally, like the real life person. I like him. I'm rooting for him because of the backstory and stuff like that. But I feel like on camera, they need to make him more of a smarter baby face, because at the moment, I feel he's a bit limp as a baby face. If it was a WWE crowd or whatever, if we're Unforgiven, if his name wasn't Brian Pillman Jr., I think we'd be acting a bit different. I'm just being honest.
I do agree with you there, sir. Last week, when when it came down to the ring and it, MJF with the chair, he was just waiting on Wardlow, and I just thought he took it out of the ring and basically lived to fight another day.
Yeah, that didn't come off very well at all. Like, it was like he was very hesitant. He had MJF in the corner, and then he's waiting on Wardlow, and then he gets to stand tall at the end. Like, yeah, you're absolutely right. It should probably would have came off a little bit better if he were like, you know, once Wardlow was in there, he just backed off, because if you're not going to hit anybody, it's like, why did you come out?
it's a bit like when somebody drives in the bike for the first time, and I was really hesitant, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. I feel like Brian Pillman Jr. will become a great player down the line, but you can see a guy finding himself in real time, and he needs to find his babyface character, because, yeah, the fiery babyface, he's a likability. I think that's why SP3 is attracted to it. He's got a likability factor about him, which makes him genuine, but I feel like it needs to translate in the ring to make him a smart babyface, not like a sap, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so thank you for having me on, guys. Have a good night.
You too, buddy.
Of course, as always, thanks for joining us, Anthony.
No worries. See you on Thursday, Sat.
See you on Thursday, our interview part 2.
Promote it. Next, we're going to bring in booking extraordinaire, Carissa. What's going on?
What's up, guys? It's been a while.
What's up? It has
what's
been.
What's up? My New York sister, what's going on?
Nothing much. Just kind of upset that I'm not going to Dynamite tomorrow.
Tears emoji. Oh,
this is a genuine tears emoji.
I live like 30 minutes from the venue, so.
Oh, yeah? Well, so why are you not going?
I didn't grab a ticket, and I have a lot of things going on, like, outside of wrestling, so.
You have a life. She has a life, guys. Wrestling does not consume her. She doesn't spend all day trolling people or trying to ask Alexa Bliss for pictures of her panties or something.
No, she's not. She's not getting mad at Martha Hart like the bad trolls out there.
No.
So Carissa, what are you looking forward to though from Dynamite or Rampage Grand Slam this week?
I'm looking forward for Kenny versus Brian. Most importantly, because they haven't faced each other in years. Ever since Brian got signed to WWE, I think their last match was PWG. I could be wrong, but they haven't faced each other in years. So I think seeing them now in their prime, you know, Kenny being a world champion, Brian, you know, he's like 39, 40 years old. And like, I think their chemistry together, I think it's going to mean a lot more to the fans and to those who haven't seen them in years, you know, on the independent scene or Ring of Honor or any other promotion.
Yeah, I think you're right that their last match was in PWG. I think they did like the thumb wrestling. Yeah, they did the thumb wrestling. They versed like in a great three-way as well in Ring of Honor. So they have a lot of history, but these are two completely different performers. Like, this was before the Yes Movement, before the WWE title reign for Bryan Danielson. This is before the 7-star, 6-star classics for Kenny Omega. So it's two totally different guys in that setting. In New York, 19,000-20,000 in attendance. It's going to be one of the most anticipated TV matches of the year. So, Carissa, I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm going to ask you to put your fantasy booker hat on. What's the finish? How does this match finish on Wednesday?
I kind of want to see Brian submitting Kenny in the Yes Lock.
Okay. I'm going for the draw. I think the draw is the best option because Bryan Danielson can't lose, but also Kenny Omega just took the loss to Christian in without the AEW World title on. If that never happened, I'm totally with you, Carissa. I think that Bryan Danielson should make him tap out or at least beat him, but because of that, I'm going to think the draw is the best option to kind of further build this. What about you, Seth?
Yeah, that's the one thing I hang my hat on. It tells a great story because both men look great, and it also sets up for a rematch down the line where Kenny said, "You never really beat me," and then and Bryan Danielson said, I didn't really lose. I could have made you tap. It could be a case of got him in a label lock for probably close to a minute. And 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 1, 0. Then probably taps.
I like that. Then he I like taps, that.
But it doesn't count because, you know, timeout.
So you get caresses with mine.
After that match, I think we see Hangman come back.
That would be a huge surprise in front of that crowd. I can only hear the cowboy Esmond Belated going off. See, I'm sticking to not swearing, my mother. I'm making up for my True Hill Heat brothers and sisters. But yes, Carissa, thank you as always. We hope that we see you next week on Call In Tuesday.
See you guys later.
Next, we're going to bring in Ricardo. What's going on, Ricardo?
El Idolo.
What's up, boys? How are you today?
I'm good, El Idolo. How are you, brother?
I am fantastic. I get to hang out with you guys for a couple of minutes.
Great for you to join us. Let's hear what you got. A hot take, a question for us, or you want to say you have a statement to make? Let's hear it.
Well, there's always my favorite hot take because I love to wind people up. Becky Lynch is mid on her best day.
You will get agreeance from me here. I've been agreeing with that since she went up against Ronda Rousey, so I'm with you there.
Yeah, she's a bobblehead. She's a mid-level worker. Look, the man took off. Much respect to that, right? But she's mid. She's a mid worker. She should be stuck in the mid card somewhere. Four horse.
I won't go that far. I mean, I think that she's not a worker of Sasha or Charlotte, but character-wise, she has improved that. I don't know about this character right now, dressing like all the Spice Girls in one, but I get where you're coming from.
Hey, it's, you know, the honest truth is she's trying to be Conor McGregor.
What's wrong with that? At least she's not trying to be a fairy or an Irish, all the stereotypes, you know?
It's a WWE diluted Conor McGregor. You can't be Conor McGregor in WWE. It's like trying to say MJF would work well in WWE. He just wouldn't. They would water him down, and he would not be the MJF that we know and hate to love.
I always agree with that. I think I said that to Rick Uchino over on Sports Keto Wrestling. He said MJF is the person he thinks would leave AEW to go to WWE. And I said it wouldn't be the same MJF. They would try to make him Miz Light, and it just wouldn't work.
Yep. Miz Light. That's a good – that's a really good
description, yeah.
That's – thank you, Sat. Yeah, absolutely. That's a great description because they would make him Miz Light. And Miz is already Diet Cola to begin with.
Man, you know what? You do have hot takes because you know what? Sometimes, yeah, there's nothing wrong with being mid. You know why? Because the most mid wrestler of all time, John Cena, he made a career out of being mid and having great matches. And you're saying, Becky Lynch didn't have a great Hell in a Cell match?
She did.
That Becky didn't have a great match in Evolution with Charlotte? Hey, how can you be mid and have great matches? She must be mid, but she can still, you know, hang with great people in the ring. I'm just saying. Because SP3 was like, John Cena, John Cena was always mid. He can't sell. He acts like he's dead. He shuts out spots. But he's good in the ring.
He's another one who had a great character. And he when you have a great character, it makes up for being what you would call a mid-level worker. Sometimes that evens the scale. If you're good on the mic, you're great on the mic, you have a great character, it evens up the scale if you're a mid-worker.
But Becky, you know what? You know, I'm going to defend Becky. Becky, yes. When it comes to wrestling ability of the other three horse women, she is last. But when it comes to getting a reaction, authentic on the microphone, heck, she's got an accent that Kevin Dunn doesn't like, yet she's still over, and she still verbally eviscerate anyone. Her Twitter game, I wouldn't want to mess with her on my birthday or my best day. In the ring, she's not as great as the others, but she's good. She got herself over. I mean, yeah. But El Idolo is your opinion. I respect it.
Hey, I've succeeded because I done wound you up. That's what I wanted.
You did great, in my opinion, LEDO. Thank you, Ricardo. We appreciate you coming on with those spicy hot takes, sir. We will see you hopefully next Tuesday on the call-in, brother.
Listen,
later, guys.
Points for riling me up. A 4 year old has riled me up. All right, so I'm easily whined.
Please, Ricardo. So we're gonna bring in. We're gonna try to bring in two to squeeze out the last couple of people we got back here. We got Slammin' Sammy Joe, and we got Matt the Misfit. Two good elite eggs joining us. Thank you for joining us, Slammin' Sammy Joe. You've been supporting the True Hill Heat YouTube channel, so I had to get you in
of
here.
Of course.
Two for the price of one.
Absolutely.
Tag team match.
Tag team main event here. What you got, guys?
I
any
like
hot takes? Any opinions?
How would you guys feel about after the draft, Zelina Vega managing Garza again? And this time with Humberto as the tag team partner.
I want her winning matches first.
Well, I don't think they're going to do that.
So that's a good idea. You can be on the winning side. Matt, you got to bargain. You got to bargain. At least you will
the winning side is not in WWE, though.
Well, she missed out on going with the winning side there.
Yeah. I mean, her husband's doing fantastic. Hopefully he doesn't lose tomorrow. Damn it.
You might have just jinxed it, but I like that idea, Slammin' Sammy Joe. That's actually a pretty good idea, and
I think it would
complete the whole Angel Garza and Humberto Carrillo act, in my opinion. My thumbs up
because I agree. Listen, because SP3 really like stated it more eloquently. I'm just gonna do exclamation marks, like yes, right. All the way yes.
What about you, Matt? You got any hot takes for us?
That Becky Lynch thing kind of, I don't know. You got the matches with Asuka at the Royal Rumble. You have the takeover match with Sasha that people forgot about.
I agree.
Becky's a really good wrestler, and they don't give her that much credit.
I mean, all the four horsewomen have a great lane.
She's good, but not great. That's how I agree on. Yeah, she's good, but not great. And I think people are trying to hit. You know,
yeah, I'm not saying she's a five-star like masterpiece or anything.
They're trying to penalize her because she's not great. Listen, being good is better than being bad.
Yeah.
She's not great, Carly. You know? Why people treat her like she's great, Carly? She's good.
Hey, Ronda Rousey put on great matches with Nia Jax. And they don't give her any credit, so I'm not going to give any credit.
Basically, those people are bums, and they need girlfriends or boyfriends. They need a life. Because Ronda Rousey was phenomenal in that 1 year.
Yeah.
She boosted the women's division. Listen, SP3, I will never slander the good name of Ronda Rousey, who's like a quarter dash ethnic. You know what I'm saying?
She was the real first African-American woman to make them at WrestleMania.
But, oh, see, now you've done upset the child.
Yeah, done upset my child with that because her mom does not like Ronda Rousey. So. Oh.
But I'm excited for the Owen Hart stuff. That was awesome to hear that last night or yesterday morning. I wasn't expecting it, but then the more I think about it, they did trademark the King of Hearts thing. I'm excited for this. I do think Brian Pillman should win the first tournament because it just makes sense. It's just right there.
I totally agree. Like Anthony made good points, and he made me put the booking hat on, and him versus MJF is like a great way
to close it off. Want to see CM Punk in it just to wear the Bret Hart tights again.
I want to see CM Punk in it. I know Sat said Bryan Danielson. There's a whole bunch of great names, and there's a certain name of somebody in WWE who we're hearing is his contract is about to expire, and he named his son after Owen Hart, so...
Speaking of tournaments, where do you think they're going with the Shayna Baszler thing after last night?
I would think if they're going to continue it and put an explanation point on it, it like Sat said, either you put her over on SmackDown to give her the real refresh, or, you know, like you said, speaking of tournaments, the Queen of the Ring is right there. She's the Queen of Spades, so she's like a great person to put in there.
I mean, because I don't think... Go ahead.
Feels like the most story they've given Shane in the last year.
I mean, there was some story with the Becky stuff, sort of. Not really, but sort of there. Becky did say she wanted to put the title on her. So
you know how long that was?
That's over a year ago, man.
Could you imagine? I know.
Over a year. It seemed like someone went to the booking meeting and woke up. Wait, Shayna. Wait, what are we doing with Shayna Baszler? What? But why didn't like it? She's conflicted. I hope it's like a Bob Backlund-esque. She's gonna snap. But yeah, that's
what I mean. And then you got Dynamite tomorrow, which is apparently they opened up more seats for Dynamite.
They're trying to get that 20,000 in.
Dude, that look tomorrow is going to be amazing.
Speaking of AEW, is Ruby Soho winning?
No.
No.
Thunder Rosa.
Oh, that's not going to be till Revolution.
Yeah, I think that Britt has enough people for her to go against, because she still hasn't gone against Tay Conti, Anna Jay. They seem to be building both of them up.
They haven't even done the rematch with Sheeta yet, so.
Yeah, they haven't done a rematch with Sheeta. They haven't done Riho, the first ever AEW Women's World Champion. So they have a bunch of challengers to leave her over to Revolution. But if they're going to build that up as the biggest women's match of all time, inside a steel cage, I would love to see it. That's the only way you can up the ante from them doing the lights out match, which in my opinion was one of the greatest Dynamite matches of all time.
And then we got the non-title match, which people still don't understand. Like, Brian never said he wanted the title. That was never what I think they're gonna do. Is they're gonna have some schmoz finish. I don't know. I've heard different. Somebody told me that they are starting with that match on tomorrow.
I wouldn't be surprised. I made the joke to my friend Jimmy McCaram of AE Recap on True Hill Heat, because he's only going for this match. I was like, it could be the opener, and then you can leave at like 8:30. And he's like, oh, I'm down for that. So it might be. You might be onto something.
But what happens afterwards, I think the Elite are going to come down, beat up Brian Danielson, Hangman Page comes back, and then you start playing the seeds again for Page Omega at Full Gear. And then that's when Page wins the title.
That's another one I could see them dragging it out to next year or the end of the year with Paige and Omega. Because
I don't know. I wouldn't do that for next year, because you don't know how hot Paige is going to be by that time.
Yeah.
I think that Paige beating Omega after he beats Danielson or Danielson and Punk will make the win even bigger for him, because it would make Kenny even a bigger star.
If you remember when they pulled the thing that was going to be Christian, not Paige and Omega at All Out. People weren't very happy about that.
But people would be happy if it's Brian Danielson versus Kenny Omega at Full Gear. I guarantee you the people in Minneapolis are going to sell out that building.
I don't know about that.
They would, but at the same time, you don't want Hangman to become Sting. I'm thinking Hangman comes out like a Bret Hart Foundation reunion, where it looks like the Dark Order is going to break up and he's the one that prevents it from happening. That's what I think is when his return's going to happen.
And then Bray Wyatt comes in and turns on them.
Could see that. But thank you, fellas. We appreciate y'all being the main event, slamming Sammy Joe as always. Like I said, brother, thank you for all the support. Matt the Misfit, you're always on Twitter machine interacting with me. I appreciate you as always, and we will see you
my hot next
Tuesday. Yes, with your hot takes, brother. See you guys.
Yeah, Full Gear is the pay-per-view that was named after Hangman, so him winning the title at Full Gear, full circle there.
It would, but you heard my kid. It said no.
And remember last year. Remember last year, Omega beat Hangman.
That's true. Thank you, fellas. We appreciate y'all.
Take care.
So I think we see in the background D minor, race Salver. Come, we're gonna make you guys the first callers for next Tuesday for the call in, because we've reached our time capacity. Like you hear, my kids are going crazy in the background, so I gotta go back to daddy duty. Sat E, thank you so much for welcoming me on the call in day, brother. I always appreciate you, sir.
So you're a professional. You handle it with so much poise. Thank you so much for coming on the show, for filling in. I got, you know, I'm being interviewed by Anthony on Thursday. I'll let you know when it's dropping. Thank you so much for coming. 15K subscribers. Red Wrestling Daily. He's the true heel. SB3. Follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handles are up there. Follow us on Wrestling Daily on Twitter. We're at Res Daily. So WRES Daily. Follow us there. Thank you. Love you guys. Mwah.
Yes, and I will see you all tomorrow with Alex McCarthy, as we're going to do our debate of the day. We're going to do a final preview for AEW Dynamite Grand Slam. So until tomorrow, we are signing off. Until then, later, y'all.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.